Well, this morning, we are starting a new sermon series entitled New Callings. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what it takes to discover fresh meaning and purpose in our lives, a fitting conversation as we begin a new year. And for many of you, you're starting 2018 in different places. Right? For some of you, 2017, you are happy it's in the rear view. And so as we begin this year, we'll be exploring the question of how can God bring anything good from this situation? Others of you are headed into this new year and you are excited about what it holds. And so from that angle, we'll also explore what it's like to approach this new year as a chance for new possibilities and new directions for us. And this morning, we're exploring one of the most popular stories in the Bible, but thinking about how we deal with resistance when we try and pursue these creative new directions, whether it's leaving behind mess in the past or it's embracing something positive in the future. So entering into our reading for today are those famous figures from our living nativity story, the wise men from the East. Now, you may have also grown up hearing these folks called by the Greek word that Matthew uses, the magi. Since we've grown so accustomed to seeing the wise men in our nativity scenes here, we might forget just how weird it is that they appear at all. Magi, these wise men, they were members of a priestly class from Persia. Their reputation was that of experts in astrology, in the interpretation of dreams, fortune-telling, and magic. In the ancient world, astrologers believed that anytime a great new king was born or some battle of significance had been won, it would be accompanied by some grand celestial event. And so when the Magi, these wise astrologers, saw a new star rising on the horizon, they were sure that an event of world-changing significance had occurred. Although there was no requirement for them to respond, something in their guts said, we should follow after this. We should see what's happened. This could be an opportunity for us to be part of something bigger. And so we tell this story every year to the point where it makes their journey sound inevitable, doesn't it? Sure, Jesus was born in the manger, the shepherds came, there were angels, it was really beautiful, and then the wise men came. Right? But this journey was far from easy. The Magi faced considerable challenges, both internally and externally. And for our purposes today, I'm going to refer to those challenges that they faced as resistance. Those things that try and hold us back or stop us from becoming the people God has called us to be or doing the things that God has called us to do. And that first form that resistance took is one you may be familiar with, a voice in their heads that whispered, this is going to be a little too hard, right? Maybe we shouldn't do this. This goal is a bit too ambitious. For the Magi, they're planning a trip that will take them from Persia to Israel, about 1,000 miles. A trip that in the ancient world is going to take months, possibly even years to complete and cost no less than a small fortune. On top of that, a little voice would have reminded them that they weren't going to have a lot of support along the way, and certainly not when they got to Israel. Remember that the Magi are astrologers, interpreters of dreams, fortune tellers. All of these practices are expressly forbidden in Israel. These are banned behaviors. And so they're taking this long trip, and the closer and closer that they get to achieving their goal, the less and less support that they have. The more they're surrounded by people who don't want them to succeed. Now, this is in our story most exemplified by Herod the Great, right? The local Roman ruler of the area. The Magi come and say that there's been a new king of the Jews that's been born. In case you don't know, Herod's favorite title of himself was King of the Jews. What do you mean you're coming to look for a king? I'm right here. So for Herod, there's only one room. There's only room in Israel for one king, rather, and he intends to make sure there's no rivals to his throne. So he feigns belief and faith, and oh yeah, go find this new king, and then come tell me where he is. Let's recap. Achieving this goal is going to be too hard. I'm not going to have a lot of support, and pursuing this opportunity may be risky. How quickly have we gone from a fantastic story about wise men from the East to voices in our heads that are uncomfortably familiar? My weekly exercise routine involves going to the YMCA gym a couple nights out of the week. And so Wednesday, I was there at the Y, and I walked in, and the place was packed, right? In ways that it never really is on a Wednesday night, because I go later in the evening, and so I'm there, and every treadmill is filled, every exercise class is filled to the brims. It was literally hard to walk around. I mean, I was beginning to feel a little claustrophobic, right? And for a second, I thought, you know, what's going on here? How did the Y get so popular, right? And then I realized it's the first week of January, and everybody has made their New Year's resolutions. They're going to be their best selves in 2018, and how many of us say, this is going to be the year I'm going to run that marathon, or I'm going to, you know, drop that, 25 pounds, whatever it is. So I was thinking about this, and it got me thinking about how many people make New Year's resolutions, and what is that? So I'm going to nerd out with you, if that's okay, a little bit about New Year's resolutions. Because here's what I found out, because maybe you're like me, and it turns out that about 40% of people in this country make New Year's resolutions, right? So the odds are some of you in this room today have made a resolution about exercise or weight loss or not spending as much time on Facebook or taking more vacations. I don't know what it is for you. But if you're also like me and you've, you know, been at this resolution game quite some time, you're also familiar with another interesting statistic about resolutions. By mid-February, 80% of people who made New Year's resolutions have given up on them. 80%, right? I don't know if it's all the chocolate at Valentine's Day and you're done, whatever it is, but by mid-February, 80% of people are done. And so I wondered, you know, why is that rate of failure so high? I mean, 80%, that's pretty astounding. So I love the answer that's given by author Stephen Pressfield. He offered it in his book, The War of Art. He says this, most of us have two lives, the life we live and the unlived life within us. And between the two stands resistance. Because the unfortunate truth is, anytime we try and make change in our lives, even positive changes, it involves stress, right? That anxious, uncomfortable feeling of doing something new. Sometimes we experience it as frustration or exhaustion. Sometimes it's worrying, it's fear, or maybe it's just simple boredom. But this resistance we feel in our gut, it's the jet fuel of failure. And what ends up happening is we self-sabotage our own efforts for change. Suddenly, it's too cold outside to go to the gym, so I'll just start next week, right? And if you're like me, you begin to unfollow those committed friends that live in Minnesota that went on a 10-mile run in 10-degree weather or something like that. That's a real friend that I have. Well, I don't know if I have them anymore. Maybe we don't have enough time to cook healthy meals, and so tonight we're just going to go through the drive-thru, and Chick-fil-A has to be healthy, right? It's chicken. It's not McDonald's. The art class sounded like a good idea, but we're not really sure about that teacher, and who has time to find another art class anyways, right? Interestingly, Pressfield notes that the more important the call or action that you want to take is to your soul's growth, the more meaningful that resolution, that decision for change is, the more resistance you will feel towards pursuing it. He says you can almost use resistance as a compass point to figure out whether you should make a change or not, if you should take a path or not take a path, if it's right for you. Because if the path seems easy, it requires little change and almost no new commitment, it is most likely neither the path of greatest growth nor the place that God is calling you to go. And that certainly seems to be the case for our group of travelers in Matthew today. The resistance that the Magi had to overcome came in many forms, but their answer to it was simple. It was commitment. It's not just enough for them to admire the star, to daydream about what it could be, to follow it. They had to pack their bags and get going. And even when they arrive in Jerusalem, they learn the dangerous truth that not everyone is interested in worshiping the Christ child like they are. Herod has every intention of killing a child born to bring peace. The Magi will have to disobey an enthroned king. They'll have to resist the powers that be. They'll have to head home by another road. Their journey teaches us that nurturing the life of faith is hard work. The road gets narrow and it's often bumpy. This is the challenge that Jesus always extended to his followers. Jesus loved to remind people that discipleship required commitment. He wasn't simply calling them to some self-soothing practice of feel-goodism. At the end of discipleship is life and life to the full, and Jesus loved to talk about the joy and blessings about following God, but he never said it was going to be easy. It's that lesson that everybody at the Y learned on Wednesday night, right? If you really spend some time on a treadmill, it's not going to be easy. If you go out for a run, it's going to be hard. You're going to build up a sweat. And if it's a really good workout, at some point you're going to question whether you're actually going to make it to the end, right? You're going to ask your running buddy if you can stop at the Starbucks, right? Hopefully they'll keep you going. It's hard sometimes to follow Jesus. And I'm not going to hide that from you, right? It's hard to practice the kind of forgiveness that Jesus asks of us. To forgive the person who betrayed us. To grant forgiveness to the person who tried to sabotage us. It's hard to practice the love that Jesus asks us to give, to love that person who takes every opportunity to annoy you and to frustrate you, right? It's easy to love the people that love us back when Jesus says, yeah, that's fine, but I want you to love the people that are difficult. And if you can do that, then you'll discover real and lasting joy. Any real commitment to become the person God has called you to be will require change. It will face resistance. It will demand commitment. That's why I love that note that Matthew offers, that at the end, the Magi, they return to their own country by another road. I think that's incredibly poetic, in really meaningful ways. Here's what one scholar wrote this week when I was studying this passage. Nothing is the same. You don't take the old road any longer. You unfold a new map. You discover an alternate path. Because if we're just headed by the roads that we've already traveled, then we're going to end up at the destinations that we know all too well. Right? We'll end up back in the same place of restlessness, of frustration, of disappointment that we know all too well. This year is a year to take that road less traveled. To when it forks, go back by another way. Because it's in that way that God wants to lead us to meaning and fulfillment, to more authentic relationships with others, to a greater understanding of who we are and why we are. And these lessons about faith, for those of you still curious about tips for your New Year's resolutions, they remain the same whether you're trying to grow in your faith or pick up a new habit. At this point in January, there's a dozen articles that you can read about how to make those New Year's resolutions stick. I'm going to boil them down for you in pretty simple and straightforward ways. Five ways that hopefully you can apply in a couple other areas. The first is to have a clear and inspiring reason why you want to achieve your goal, right? It's not just enough to say, I want to lose weight. Why do you want to lose weight? You want to spend more time, more energy to play with kids or grandkids, right? You're going to go on a big trip and you want to be able to hike to the top of the mountain. What's motivating you? Break down that big goal into smaller, more achievable things. If you don't read every day, it's highly unlikely you're going to read a book a week and stay up to date with Mark Zuckerberg's book club, right? Just read 15 minutes a day. Build from there. And use repetition to strengthen that habit. And more importantly, find somebody else who's going to hold you accountable. Who's going to support you. Notice the Magi traveled in a group of three, we like to say. They didn't travel it on their own. And finally, give yourself grace when you mess up. You're going to. You're going to fall short. You'll backslide a little bit, and that's okay. Dust yourself off and travel the road again. These are helpful tactics to use, but in the end, they're no remedy for commitment. That's still the driving engine of all of this. We must commit to the change we want to experience and remain committed enough to endure that discomfort and resistance that we're going to face along the way. But I promise you that if you don't give in, if you stay the course, on the other side is new possibilities and opportunities. So, here's your homework when you leave from here. If you're a resolution person, then you've already done it and take heart. If not, this week, I want you to take some time, and rather than be overly ambitious, I just want you to think of one way you would like to grow spiritually this year. One way. Maybe you're going to join a small group because you want to grow with others, you want to study the Bible a little bit more. Maybe you're going to every day take 10 minutes to pray and reflect at the beginning or end of the day. Maybe you're going to volunteer for an additional mission project, or you're going to sign up to volunteer in children's and youth ministry. I don't know what it is for you, but what's that one thing you're going to do? And then I want you to think about how you're going to deal with resistance when it happens, right? Because it's going to. So is there another person you're going to share this goal with who's going to encourage you and support you along the way? How are you going to work it in to other goals or make it more bite size? This is a year in which we can let our lights shine, as Pastor Jenny reminded us. It's a year where we can make change. And why don't we use this opportunity to follow the light of God to new growth and new hope and new meaning? So return from here by another way.